This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore Bridge collapse. I'm Michelle Franzen. The National Transportation Safety Board on scene and now taking the lead in the investigation into the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. That after a container ship slammed into a section of the bridge. Six people still unaccounted for. The NTSB chair, Jennifer Homendy, says the focus remains on search and rescue, but several agencies are also beginning to collect evidence.
We have a team here that is getting the recorders. We also have a highway safety team, our team out of the Office of Highway Safety, including structural engineers.
The crew of the Singapore ship reportedly issued a mayday, saying it lost power before that vessel crashed into the bridge. Authorities say the call to the port allowed crews during routine road patch repairs to stop traffic before the collapse. President Biden pledging federal aid to Baltimore to get the bridge rebuilt and the port reopened. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. 501c4 nonprofits are driving record spending by anonymous political donors across the country. That's according to a new study from the group Open Secrets.
In some states, you can actually have 501c4 dart money groups or shell companies contribute directly to candidates' campaigns, which is something that's not allowed at the federal level. They're only allowed to spend in support of the candidate.
Study author Anna Masolia says that kind of money often pays for misleading attack ads. Cheating on your spouse is technically a felony in Wisconsin, which can land you in jail for 3 months and up to $10,000 in fines. Authorities rarely pursue charges, but there's a move to take the law off the books in other states like New York. Lawmakers there say prosecutors should not dig into what consenting adults do behind closed doors. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Superior Bar and apartment building have been demolished following a Thanksgiving fire that left the structures condemned. According to a Fox 21 report, demolition crews were seen taking down the former Viking Lounge and the apartments on Superior's north end on Monday. The fire that caused the damage broke out around 10 a.m. on November 23rd, and fire department officials believe it was started by a lit cigarette that was thrown into a small crawl space below the ground floor. 14 people were left homeless. The Duluth City Council voted to reject a resolution calling for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza on Monday. It was a highly attended meeting with community members speaking passionately on both sides of the issue, with proponents saying the resolution would make them feel safer in the city and those against arguing the city has no authority to make a resolution like this. In the end, the resolution was rejected by a 5-4 vote. City councilors Forsman, Kennedy, Nephew, Swenson, and Tominek were the ones to vote against it. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Matt Nair on air.
The hearing surrounding the alleged Biden crime family didn't go very well for House Republicans. They got nothing.
They also have no way of moving this country forward. Every 45 days, we're on the brink of a shutdown because these idiots can't come together and put forth a budget. How about this? You don't get to try to impeach anybody until you finish your homework.
I would heartily back that.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Brewers lose their leadoff batter. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Garrett Mitchell was expected to be the Brewers' leadoff hitter for Thursday's opening day in New York against the Mets, but after an MRI, it was discovered the 25-year-old center fielder suffered a fracture in his left hand. He's expected to go on the injured list and be out the first 4 to 8 weeks of the season. Mitchell hurt the hand during batting practice over the weekend. He missed most of last season with a shoulder injury. NFL meetings going on in Orlando. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst says he's glad running back A.J. Dillon agreed to re-sign with the team because there was no way they could have hung on to both Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones.
To get AJ back, it was that was a kind of a nice surprise. But I think that, you know, the free agent running back class was very strong. There's a bunch of experienced runners out there.
And the Packers signed a veteran kicker, Greg Olsen, a free agent after 3 years with the Vikings. He'll compete with Anders Carlson, who struggled in his rookie season in Green Bay. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Temperatures are crashing to the mid-20s by late this afternoon. As all snow continues to fall now, another 2 to 4 inches is likely. And with the flash freeze, everything that was wet is ice now. Watch where you step with those slippery surfaces. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 25 degrees.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I'm Earl, host of The Earl Ingram Show. Wednesday at 9 a.m., I'll be joined by Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, only on Civic Media.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
He don't always come at midnight. Burning red and talking sin.
What is up, Wisconsin, and welcome back to the 3 p.m. hour of the Maggie Dawn Show, coming to you all across the state, except for Madison. Madison's not cool enough to get us at this hour anymore. That's fine. We'll take everybody else. And those of you who make up the everybody else in the state of Wisconsin, now is the time. If you're not driving, pull out that phone. If you are driving, pull over and then pull out that phone, because it is time for our word of the hour, for our ride into spring text to win event. Just a reminder, you are entering this hour. Somebody this hour is winning a stay at Chula Vista. One of you who texts in will be getting that and entered to win a bike, a blender, and some patio furniture, as well as, my understanding is, even some more time at Chula Vista. I think this is great. You can take whoever you want, but I would recommend taking your family, because that is our word of the hour, family. That's F-A-M-I-L-Y, family. Text in the word family using the Civic Media app. And come on, you don't even have to take your family. You could take your friends. You could take whoever you wanted to Chula Vista. It is up to you. You just have to text in to win. Talking about all sorts of opportunities, opportunities that are maybe even better than a stay at the Chula Vista, is someone who I'm very honored to say is part of the reason I'm in the position that I'm in today. I went to UWM for 5 years. I did 2.5 in normal time and 2.5 in COVID time. And I entered UWM thinking, you know what? I'm going to run off and be a U.S. diplomat. I'm going to go into international studies. I'm going to become a diplomat. And I took a couple classes with other folks who wanted to be diplomats. And I just found I wasn't finding my people there. And so I kept hopping around. I went into journalism for a little bit. I went into a couple different departments until I discovered this basement in Mitchell Hall where they keep all the film majors. They keep them underground, so much so that our film fest is known as the Milwaukee Underground Film Festival. And while I was in that underground terrain, in the tunnels under Mitchell Hall, there were three courses I really, really wanted to take in my time. The first was, of course, underwater photography. That was something we used to offer. You would get scuba certified. You'd go out, you'd take pictures of the shipwrecks in Lake Michigan. The second one was the business of screenplay. Never got into that one. Still have never sold a screenplay. I feel that that's connected. But the last one I did get into, after fighting and getting waitlisted and feeling like I almost needed to fist fight another film major to get in, I got into a little class known as the producer's role. And I am excited to introduce our guest for this hour, was my professor in that class, Jeff Kurz. Jeff, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, because I have to say I was not an A student in your class. I was a C-level student. But despite that, just from the knowledge I gained from when I did show up, I am now a producer. So I have to say this feels like some sort of proof and some sort of pudding to me. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but
you should know that I don't judge students by their letter grade. I judge them by their enthusiasm.
Okay.
And I remember your enthusiasm was through the roof, so don't have to worry about that.
I got an A in enthusiasm, thankfully. I'll take that. Well, I am enthusiastic about what you're working on. I started seeing posts coming through Facebook all of a sudden from the likes of Mark Ruffalo and some other folks that have connections to the Wisconsin film scene. And they were talking about something that I didn't even realize had happened in our state, which was that we'd lost our film incentives at some point, and we're now working on getting them back. So if you could you walk us through a little bit of the story here? Let's start with just what is a film tax incentive? What is this thing?
Sure. So film tax incentives are something that is offered by states, and it's a way to financially benefit film and television productions who want to shoot in that state. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what happens is the production comes to the state and they spend a certain amount of money, and the state in turn, once it goes through and makes sure that everything, that all the expenses were qualified, right, they will issue, in our case, they will issue something called tax credits. Mm. Those are given to the producers. Now, producers and production companies or actual productions, they are structured as limited liability companies.
Right.
Limited liability companies don't have any tax liability at the end of the year. So what they do is they sell those tax credits to a larger company that can actually benefit from them. They sell them for maybe like 90 cents on the dollar, 95 mm-hmm. cents on the dollar. And that way it's kind of win-win. The production company or the production gets their money back, and this corporation, and oftentimes it's local, they will benefit tax-wise.
Okay. So, and how common is this for other states? Does every state but Wisconsin have it, or just a few?
Wisconsin is currently one of 10 states that does not have any form of production tax incentives.
Wow. Okay. So we're in a small group of folks who don't have them. So just about everywhere else in the country, a production company could say, we've got this great script. It takes place in name a state. You take a look at it. We could go shoot there because the incentives are there. But let's say you have a script right now. It takes place in Wisconsin. You pitch it out in California. They're not going to look at us right now. Is that kind of the feeling?
That's absolutely true. You know, a good case in point, maybe 2 years ago, John Ridley, Academy Award winning writer for 12 Years a Slave, mm-hmm. also a director, he set up a television series with Showtime that he partnered with Alicia Keys.
Oh, right.
And it was originally set in Detroit. They moved the location of the series to Milwaukee because John is from here.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and I got very excited, so I called a friend at Showtime and I said, are you coming here to film? And she said, I don't know, what kind of tax incentives do you have?
Oh.
And I said, oh, we don't have those. And she said, and what about soundstage? And I said, oh, we don't have those either. And she said, okay, I'll have to call you back. And it wouldn't happen here because,
yeah,
unfortunately, we don't have those incentives.
Right. So even though the narrative of the show might be, we're in Milwaukee and we love Milwaukee, but they could be filming, you know, anywhere. Just they said last hour, there's parts of Milwaukee you could say maybe pass for parts of New York. There are definitely other places that pass for parts of Milwaukee that could be shot in a state with incentives, right?
A situation like that would maybe they would come to Milwaukee for a day,
yeah,
to shoot some exteriors, like the movie Bridesmaids, right?
Which, oh,
is
right,
set,
yeah,
set in Milwaukee, and they show the Milwaukee Public Market, and that's kind of it.
I completely forgot that's supposed to be here, right? Or like the Netflix show, The Circle. Even though they shot that on a soundstage somewhere, they have like helicopter shots to make it seem like they're in Milwaukee. It was very,
sure,
it's very jarring. But yeah, so we're being represented in images, but we're not seeing the economic benefit of those things when that production doesn't choose to come do their whole production with us, essentially.
We're definitely missing out on some very strong economic factors.
Tell me more about that. What's some of the things we're missing? What could Wisconsin be getting if we were able to sign on to these incentives?
The important thing to know about film and television production tax incentives is that it is definitely an economic booster. It's about job creation and retention.
Mm-hmm.
It is about boosting local economies, and it's also about promoting tourism.
Right. Tourism. Because we're, you know, how many films can we think of that take place in New York? They make you want to go to New York, or they take place in Vegas. You want to go to Vegas. But not many films right now that take place in Wisconsin, and then even less so that take place in Wisconsin and make you go, I really want to go to the Dells, or I really want to go up north, right?
But that's definitely a possibility.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now, you have made a film pretty far up north. Is that correct?
So the last movie that I produced was this movie called Deep Woods.
Yes.
And we shot partially in Milwaukee and mm-hmm. partially in outside of West Bend, actually okay. in a little town called Keewaskum, which was fantastic, by the way. And here's the thing. Here's the thing that people don't know about Wisconsin is mm-hmm. that I think the general perception is that movies, those don't happen here. Well, actually, there are quite a few people living in the state who are making movies. The Milwaukee Film Festival has a program every year called Cream City Cinema, mm-hmm. right? And it's actually gotten quite competitive to
yes.
get into that sidebar. They probably accept about 20 short films and maybe 5 or 6 feature-length films. Mm. And not everybody gets in. In fact, a lot of people don't get into that. It's quite amazing how much film activity is going on here.
Oh, yeah.
And so one of the things that people don't realize about tax incentives is that it's not just about production companies from outside the city, from New York, Los Angeles, wherever, coming into the state. There are actually a fair number of people filmmakers who are living and working and paying taxes in Wisconsin who would really benefit from this.
And those people, they could be making films about anything. They just happen to be living here, and they're going to see some economic return because they chose to keep that production here rather than leave the state. That's sort of what you mean?
Absolutely.
That sounds awesome.
We bought so many hotel rooms in West Bend.
Yeah.
Our caterer was in Keewaskum. I think she had a great year, you know?
I can only imagine how many small towns throughout this state, you know, they've got one hotel or something. You could, with a production company, maybe people don't even understand how many folks work on films, how many folks it takes to just run a day on set. Can you kind of give us an idea when you guys went to Keewaskum, how many people were you bringing with? How many people were you trying to feed hiring that caterer with?
We had a smallish crew, but a smallish crew was probably about 30 people.
A small crew was 30 people, yeah.
30 people. Plus, there were actors, right? Mm-hmm. There were probably, at any given day, 6 or 8 actors. So that's a fair amount. And you have to put all of those people up and you have to feed them.
Yeah.
And that's just the beginning of the economic benefits of this.
Oh, yeah.
My crew was paying, taxes at the end of the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's sales taxes, which sometimes people don't really pay attention to sales taxes. Milwaukee's sales tax is now 7.9%.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
nothing to, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's something to notice, nothing else. Yeah.
It all adds up.
Yes. So when we get back, we'll come back, we'll talk about what this is going to look like, what this exact bill that you guys are working on. And I want to really talk with you about who wrote this, where some of the insights for this bill are coming from, because as much as I talk about Milwaukee, because that's where I'm based, that's where I went to school, there are folks on this bill kind of from all throughout the state. Is that right?
It's true.
So we're going to talk more about that, get into where they're at and why folks from all over are so interested in this. When we come back, you've been listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. You still have time to text in the word family for our ride into spring event when we get back in just a moment.
Don't you know about the devil? He's a gentleman. Oh, don't you know? Don't you know about the devil? He's a gentleman. About the devil. Don't you know about the devil?
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call
800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.heat.help.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Wisconsin, and welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show without Maggie Dawn. It's me, Anya, her producer, talking about productions. It's kind of a inception of a day when it comes to producing. I'm a producer with my former production instructor. Calvin's producing on the board. Oops, all producers. It's an awesome day. And it could be an even better day if you text in the word family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, family, through our app. You will be entered to win a stay at the Chula Vista in the Wisconsin Dells. As well, you'll be entered to win a bike, a blender, and some patio furniture. Those sound like great incentives to text in, but with some even better incentives is our guest, Jeff Kurz. Jeff, in the last section, we kind of talked about what a film incentive even is. It's this idea, you come here, you shoot your film, you're going to get some money back. And if your state doesn't have it, it's really, really unlikely that these production companies are going to come in. And it makes it even harder for production companies that are here. Did I kind of summarize that fairly
Absolutely.
Well? Good
Absolutely.
Stuff. So with that summary, Jeff, can you tell me about some of the players who are involved in this bill, this attempt to bring the incentives back to our state?
Sure, absolutely. So one thing to understand is that there are two bills. They basically say the same thing. There's one for the Assembly and one for the Senate.
Okay. Perfect.
So, and the authors are Representatives David Armstrong from Rice Lake, Wisconsin, Kelvin Callahan from Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and then Senator Julian Bradley from Franklin, Wisconsin. And I'm here representing a statewide coalition called Action Wisconsin. Action Wisconsin, we have not authored these bills, but we want to promote them, so make them a success. They'll be voted on in January of next year. But the thing to know about these incentives is that it truly is a statewide movement. A lot of people don't know, but the city of Superior, which is way at the top of the state, way up there, yeah. there's this very enterprising woman, Joanne Jardine, who actually was instrumental in creating a tax incentive program just for the city of Superior because they're across the river from Duluth.
Oh, wow.
And people are making movies in Duluth. And so she wanted to create a situation where if nothing else, crew members could be living in Wisconsin and working across the river. They might be putting up the hotels and restaurants are cheaper than they are in Duluth. So it's, you know, it's an offer savings. Plus they'll get the tax benefit from that. So, and part of this coalition that I'm talking about, we now are working with people in Green Bay, Kenosha, Eau Claire, Beloit, I think Burlington. So there are film people all over the state
Yes.
who would really benefit from this.
And this bill, just looking at where the representatives are, you mentioned Rice Lake, Tomahawk, but I just want to mention too, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Jefferson, Crivitz. This is the first time in a long time that I've seen the name of a town in Wisconsin that I didn't know. Crivitz, I'm not even entirely sure where that is. And the rest, Oshkosh, Marshfield, Bondwell, there's another one I hadn't heard of yet, Manitowoc. But this is truly a statewide thing, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So far we have a bipartisan group of 18 legislators who are co-sponsoring these bills, and we're just getting started, really. We've got the next 9 months to work with legislators, community leaders, and just about anybody else who will listen about the economic benefits of these incentives.
And it seems to me like, you know, there's very few people who wouldn't benefit. You think about who should be listening to this. You've mentioned hotels, restaurants, so anything in the service industry. But the opportunities, it seems, are pretty much endless. When it comes to, you know, what's where this is going to go. You said you have 9 months before this is voted on. What's your vision for the state, or what's the next steps, and where do we go from here?
It's really about creating support. So if people mm-hmm. and if people want to be involved, and we've had a lot of outreach through our so there is a website, actionwi.org, and if you go there, really what we need to do, what we really need the most from people is for them to contact their legislators mm-hmm. In the Assembly and the Senate and tell them, this is a really good deal for Wisconsin. This is important. You know, and it's not just for people who work in film. As right. you said, it's, you know, it's hotels, it's restaurants, it's hospitality. It's equipment houses. It's when John Ridley. So speaking of John Ridley again, mm-hmm. he was in town 2 weeks ago to screen a movie that he made called Shirley by Shirley Chisholm. Mm-hmm. Okay. First black woman to be elected to Congress and ran for president in the 70s. And so he made this movie for Netflix. It's called Shirley. Regina King's fantastic in it. And he shot it in Cincinnati. And he said in his opening remarks before the screening, he said, I would love to have shot this movie in Wisconsin. There's no reason why we couldn't. It's just that Ohio has tax incentives.
Yeah.
He even referenced like people going to like the airport gift shop to buy things, you know.
Exactly. Well, and think of all the extras in that film, all Absolutely. The electricians, mm-hmm. the caterers. Those are all businesses in Ohio. We love Ohio. It's one of our Midwest neighbors.
It's a great state. But so is Wisconsin.
But so are we. So yes. Why don't we get in it?
Absolutely.
Excellent stuff. Jeff, we've got about 2 minutes left here. Anything you want to say or any comments on this? You know, you've done such a great job summarizing this, but I don't want to undersell how important this feels for our state economically, that this is something that whether you're in the arts or you're in something you think, I could never work on a movie, but if a movie needs whatever it is you do, you could find yourself getting a job through that. Anything else that you'd like to comment on?
So I mentioned the last movie that I produced, Deep Woods, mm-hmm. and we shot at the end of 2019, right before the shutdown. I had one of the best crews that I've ever had. Okay. And they were amazing. And if I were to shoot this movie again right now, I'd have another really good crew. But it wouldn't be that same crew, because a lot of those people have left the state for more job opportunities. They've gone to New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago.
Yep.
And we don't want that to happen anymore. We don't. We want to be able to have that tax base. We want to be able to create and retain jobs.
Yep.
And boost local economies.
I'll say, too, I just made my little short film for my senior year, and both of the stars of that film, I think I had like an 8-person cast, the two leads for that, great people. I reached out to them. I said, do you want to be in this next thing I'm making? They're both in New York. And so many of my friends have, I'll add to that, Portland is another big mm-hmm. city that everyone's leaving for, especially if you're in animation. But it could be us. The song you're going to hear going into break is a cover of The Struts, Could Have Been Me. And that's how I think we both feel about so much of the state. It could have been us, should have been us, maybe. And I think it will be. Jeff, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your work. Let's
Thank
go
you.
Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Come back in a moment with more from the Maggie Dawn Show.
Wednesday on Matt Nair On Air, we talked to someone working with a group called Republican Voters Against Trump, and our civic media meteorologist joins us. Don't miss it.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Kripescast, folks.
My conversation with Taylor Kalmus, a.k.a. Dude Dead.
When you go to the movies and you get to the last climactic scene, you're not just like, oh, you know what would be fun?
let's leave. Let's finish this movie in the parking lot. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
I think he's talking about...
let's pull out of this movie theater.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Pretty big week in terms of information coming into the marketplace and planting data coming into trade. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heimberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, says these two reports are kind of the biggest chunk of information that we're going to see so far this year.
Well, there's a couple major reports during the year that are the major goalpost setters, and this is one of them this week, which is the USDA planting intentions report. What are they going to be those forecasted planted acres for corn, soybeans, and wheat, as well as other crops? That comes out on Thursday at 11 o'clock Central Time. And again, it resets the goalpost basically for the next 6 months or next handful of months until we get the June plantings numbers, where we see where the numbers actually are. And then we get the third report like this in September, the final plantings numbers.
That was John Heimberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Fast growing, safe on seed, nutrient rich. Fuel up for a winning season with Paraline, the ultimate in-furrow starter fertilizer by CHS. This all-in-one liquid fertilizer combines advanced enzyme technology, a low-salt formulation, and patented chelate to develop strong roots faster and emerge ahead of the pack. Call your CHS agronomy representative to place your Paraline order today.
Our travel compass is pointed east. Hello, everyone. Farm Director Pam Yonke inviting you to join me on our captivating Cape Cod tour, October 19th through the 26th. We'll start in Boston with a tour of a nearby dairy, then a ferry ride to Martha's Vineyards where we'll meet alpacas, plus an unforgettable sand dunes adventure. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam for more information, and watch a travel show, or call 888-557-1020 for a brochure.
I'm Charity Seebecker with the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 432 and a half, down 5 1/4 cents. New crop corn closed at 468, that was down 6 3/4. Cash beans closed at 1199, that was down 10 1/4 cents. And new crop beans closed at 1191, and that was down 7 3/4. Cash wheat closed at 543.5, down 11.5 cents. And new crop wheat closed at 559.25, and that was also down 11.5 cents. On the dairy side of things, April Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1585, 100 weight, that is up 10 cents. And May milk is trading at 1637, up 5 cents. Barrel cheese closed at 143 3/4, that's up 3/4. 40-pound block cheese closed at 142.5, that was down 1/4. And the double A butter closed down 3 1/4 cents at 283. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Temperatures are crashing to the mid-20s by late this afternoon. As all snow continues to fall now, another 2 to 4 inches is likely. And with the flash freeze, everything that was wet is ice now. Watch where you step with those slippery surfaces. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 24 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I ate at gas stations today. You took me to the finer gas station.
You drove, dude. What are you talking about? You're a grown-ass man. You go get yourself a piece of cherry pie, man. What do you want me to do?
Do I look like a roasted turkey to you right now? I know you're hungry. Like the cartoon style?
You do look like a...
Beef? A little piece of bacon, a slab of meat, something?
Oh, yeah.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Thank you.
is up, Wisconsin, and welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. What you're listening to is a cover of Pink Floyd's The Great Gig in the Sky. Calvin, help me out here. What is the young woman's name who is singing that lovely cover?
That cover is sung by Lillian Jimenez.
Thank you. Lillian Jimenez doing Pink Floyd's Great Gig in the Sky. And I'm of the belief that there very well may be a great gig in the sky, but I would much rather take a couple great gigs down here in Wisconsin beforehand. That is to say, if you weren't with us the last half hour or the last hour and a half, we've been talking primarily about the film incentive tax program. I'll get those words in the right order one day. That could very well be returning to Wisconsin. We just heard from Jeffrey Kurz, both a fantastic producer based here in Wisconsin, as well as a former instructor of mine who taught me the vast majority of the things I needed to know about being a film producer back when I was in school. And I'm very thankful for that. He shared some of his expert insight into who would be benefited by the return of these incentives. These incentives essentially being that if you choose to come to Wisconsin to shoot your film or TV show, or if you're here in Wisconsin already and you choose to stay to shoot your film or TV show, then you're going to get some kickback. You're going to get some money back that otherwise would have been kept in the hands of the state, right? Because we want to encourage this kind of industry. And why do we want to encourage this kind of industry? If it hasn't been said enough through the different examples that myself and my two guests, Jeffrey Kurz and Pete Schwabe, mentioned, you know, film, if nothing else, film is very much, let's say, you know, film media, whether those are movies, TV, commercials, they are jack of all trades industries. What I mean by that is in order for you to create something, we used to say time-based media. That used to be the really fancy lingo to mean a movie. When you couldn't agree on movie or film, you could say time-based media. All of it, you need to create a world for your story to exist in, right? That means building a building for things to happen in, whether that's a soundstage or you just need to build a very specific version of a house for your movie. Could mean making costumes, whether that means going to a local store and buying them or hiring a local tailor, a local seamstress to make them, or buying some back lot from a local community theater that's got, you know, 10,000 outfits from Music Man they have no use for anymore. All of these intersections, all these things to create the images that you see on screen benefit industries far and wide across this state. And that is without even touching on the sort of inherent value of the potential for tourism. The idea that, you know, I have seen statistics about how much worse hotel rooms at Caesar's Palace have gotten since the release of The Hangover, for example. Because people see The Hangover and they go, that's what Vegas is for. It's for wrecking things and wrecking house, right? But you know what else it does? Is it pulls a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't go to Vegas into Vegas. Now, that's a terrible example, right? The Caesar's Palace version. Calvin's even laughing. He's like, you're doing a bad job, kid. but of all the, you know, this idea that when you're represented on film, you become a part of someone's memory, right? I think for a lot of us who aren't from New York, we have expectations of New York based on what we've seen. These are true of these places that whether they like it or not, whether they have film incentives or not, they are going to be highlighted in film and in time-based media. But Wisconsin, we have this amazing, amazing opportunity right ahead of us. There has been a hiatus from creation here. Not an entire hiatus, but it has been a hot minute since we saw the size of productions like Public Enemy come through and represent our state. And there are long-term economic benefits to housing, maintaining, uplifting, solidifying a film industry. We can see from any city you travel in that has a walking tour of filming locations. Anytime you go somewhere and find someone selling memorabilia just based on a location, for example, you can still buy little slivers of the stage, the last stage the Beatles ever performed on, right? The only reason that those slivers of wood sell for any money is because of, that's where the Beatles decided to perform, was on that particular stage. And now that they're gone, we take the stage and we sell it. Wisconsin has far less opportunities for sort of, let's say, frivolous economic gain like that. What I would call really, really great opportunities to, cash in on some zeitgeist from time to time. But the zeitgeist has to be here for us to even cash in on it. Whether it's a walking tour in a city of the filming locations, or whether it's a tour of the real historic locations that the topic of a film was based on that brings people here because they're interested in our history, or whether it's just the idea that there is no more or there's less of a slow season in so many of our tourist locations like Door County, up north areas like Tomahawk, even just in central Wisconsin in times where maybe it's winter, but there isn't enough snow for any of our ski slopes to open, right? There are creatives around the world in high-density cities who would give just about anything to have a big, open, empty cornfield to shoot in, because that's the space that they need for their big UFO in their big climactic scene. All they need is a big cornfield. And we're lousy with big cornfields. We've got them everywhere. And that's not true for every creative. There's so many creatives out there who write stories for places that they don't live in, right? I'm guilty of it. I've got two screenplays I'm working on right now that take place in cities that aren't in Wisconsin. And it's got nothing to do with the film incentives for me. It's just where the idea came from. But for all those people out there who have ideas that could apply to us, people who have ideas about films, they want to shoot on a farm. They've never been to a farm. They want to shoot out in the woods. The closest to the woods they've ever been is Central Park. They want to tell a story about our great, that involves going to a lakeside beach. They don't have that in, I don't know, Iowa. Certainly not to the size that we do, right? And we have it. We have it. And the last wall between getting those creatives and their fantastic ideas here and in touch with our fantastic industries and getting that money exchanged and making great things, the last barrier between them is the fact that we're essentially just sort of committing a huge economic social faux pas. We're down with the last 10 states. Think about that. 40 states in the union have these film incentives. And it was referenced earlier, Minnesota, which far be it from me to ever say that Minnesota could ever, shine as bright as our beautiful state does. They claim to have 1,000 lakes, but I have not seen the numbers. They've got those film incentives. So when it comes down to, look, do we want to shoot on the lake in Wisconsin or do we want to shoot on the lake in Minnesota? They're going to choose Minnesota, and when they choose Minnesota, that means they're choosing that Minnesotian caterer, the Minnesotian extras. Everybody over there is going to get a little extra money. Their slow season's going to feel a little less slow. Us, we're going to keep doing just what we were doing, and I don't believe in that. I thought our whole thing was forward. I thought the whole point about Wisconsin and our ways was that we wanted to keep innovating. And I cannot imagine a better opportunity to do so than to bring back, especially given the fact that we used to have these film incentives. Now, we didn't get into why those film incentives went away. I want to be completely clear. I outright don't know. My understanding of it all is as much as I understand any other form of politics, which is I'm sure someone got their feelings hurt and thusly took away something that benefited the whole rest of the state to get back at some, I don't know, assemblyman they didn't like. That would be my guess, because I'm learning more and more that that's where so many of these crazy decisions in politics come from. But I want to really encourage people as we're coming into the beginning of spring. We're finally getting out of, despite the huge amount of snow that was dropped on us this week, I think we're finally getting out of the period of winter time where everything is so gray, everything is so wet, everything is so cold. It's hard to believe, almost, at times, that spring and new life and new growth is possible. And I want to encourage you, even on, it's kind of gray here in Waukesha. I don't know how things are for y'all around the state right now. But to imagine a future for this state where the likes of American Idol, Top Chef, Calvin sent me a lovely article here about some films, other films that have shot in Wisconsin, one of them being Transformers shot here. I didn't even know that. Parts of Bridesmaids. Imagine a future for this state where it is phenomenally common for a multi-million dollar film to pull up, throw a bunch of money at us, just for being Wisconsin, essentially, and then go on home with their cool movie. Imagine a future where, whether you work in construction, whether you work in, you're an electrician, you're a tailor, maybe you knit, maybe you make furniture, maybe you, whatever it is, even if you're in sales, even if you're in accounting, you have to have accountants for these films. You have to have almost any job you can think of. I'm really in this moment hard-pressed to think of one that doesn't apply. If there's animals on set, a veterinarian, children on set, tutors and teachers, all of these things roll into this great big economic force that says, look, movies need a little bit of everything, and we have a little bit of everything. Why don't you come pay us for it instead of paying Michigan, instead of paying Minnesota, instead of paying Illinois, instead of going out of state, or God forbid you're a Wisconsin creative like me, you get a great idea, you finally get investors, yes, and they tell you, look, we're not going to invest our money for you to shoot in a state where we're not going to get this back. Why would we? We're savvy business people. That's why we get called investors. No one's ever called me an investor before, right? The pain it would cause me, and the pain that caused John Ridley, as Jeff mentioned earlier, to take something you care about, a place you care about, to put it pen to paper and say, here's my story, finally get the funding. Once you get that funding, I mean, that's really it. And to have the opportunity to bring that economic force home, taken away from you, I mean, it would just really hurt, and it does contribute to why young creatives end up leaving this state. It contributes to why young creatives who, you know, get their degree here, lived here their whole life, still end up moving out to New York, out to Atlanta, Portland, LA. I even have friends who have moved to places like London, Edinburgh, Berlin for film and TV opportunities. They've left the U.S. Now, I can't do too much about that part, but just hear me when I say I really want to stay here. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I like this state a lot, and I'm a creature of habit. My habits are all here. And I love my industry. I love my art. I love making films and being around filmmakers. And I think this state would really, really love the benefits it would see if and when this passes. When we come back, I'm going to give you a little look into what we're talking about tomorrow. We're going to wrap up. And don't forget, before we go to break, let me say quick, I missed it at the top of this segment. You can still text in family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, through our app to get entered to win a trip to Chula Vista. That's family. Text it in to us. Calvin, take us to the break with that sweet, sweet music.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Well, hi there. It's the fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WBZH. It's not just for farmers. It's for anybody that loves food. Tune in 5 a.m. on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. Hayward.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas. Through the whole premiere, his biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. We are wrapping up the 3 p.m. hour of the Maggie Dawn Show with me, producer Anya. Maggie's on vacation. She will be through the end of the week. You'll get her back on April 1st. That's no joke. As we wrap up today, I want to highlight what we talked about. We've been talking about the film tax incentive program. Wisconsin used to have it. It's been gone for a while. Action Wisconsin is working on bringing it back. It's a bipartisan bill. It's truly a statewide bill, or I should say it's written and backed by representatives from really all over the state, not just Madison and Milwaukee, but places like Minocqua, Rice Lake, Tomahawk, Crivitz. Still got to figure out where that is. I got to come visit Crivitz sometime soon. Sounds like a great place to shoot a movie. But I just want to highlight that I am a true believer in the statement that rising tides raise all ships. Now, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci of Busted Pencils raised a great caveat to this the other day. He said it raises all boats. Unless you're not in a boat, then you're just drowning. And I think when we look at the layout of how many states have these film incentives versus the fact that we, Wisconsin, we do not, we're the ones who aren't in a boat. 40 other states have film tax incentive programs, which means that 4 out of 5 times when a script comes across a producer's desk and truly by the grace of God, it gets picked up, it gets some money, some backing, some time behind it. And that's statistically speaking, so unlikely. Let's say that script even gets that far. You know, four out of five times it's set in a state that it can be shot in. You want to go to Utah? Let's go to Utah. You want to go to Florida? Why? But we can go there. You want to go to Massachusetts? We can go. But Wisconsin, a state with so much diversity of nature, diversity of industry, diversity of people, not even just in the way that diversity is used to mean, oh, there's folks of different backgrounds, but truly throughout this state, as I've traveled it, as I've lived in it, I have found just truly some of the most unique people on earth. Living here, residing here, either they were born here or they transplanted themselves here. Outside, we haven't talked enough about a different type of filmmaking, which is documentary filmmaking. And I really want to say, as someone whose heart still really belongs to the documentary scene, despite it not being very lucrative for the creator, right? That there are so many stories about this state that deserve their time in the sun. So many stories, whether it's about our indigenous populations in this state, our reservations, whether it's about our Hmong communities and their struggles to get here and the struggles they've experienced since, any of our minority communities, and not to mention, again, to just say folks of all backgrounds, of all such incredible life experiences, call Wisconsin home. And it saddens me that the only documentaries that I can think of about our state so often are about the likes of either Jeffrey Dahmer or Ed Gein or some other really tragic or profoundly dark thing or event that happened here in Wisconsin. I get it. True crime is very lucrative. Everybody's got to have it. But for example, one of the first pieces of media I think that really kicked off like the Netflix true crime zeitgeist was Making a Murderer. That's all about Wisconsin. Our story, or I should say a story that took place here in our state, was so profound, was so shocking, was so, interesting, if nothing else, that it kind of kicked off a whole new genre. I am of the belief that Making a Murderer, I think I called it To Make a Murderer, that's not quite right, Making a Murderer on Netflix, changed a lot of the ways that modern audiences interact with stories like true crime and our deep, unsettling interest in them. But it still makes me sad that this huge thing, it has these Wisconsin roots. Okay, cool. But it's another one of these dark stories. And while it's important to talk about our dark stories, it's important to bring things like that to light the same way we do need to talk about, Jeffrey Dahmer, Ed Gein, these things. We do need to talk about instances in our state where things went awry. We also need the opportunity for stories that aren't as, let's just say it, financially lucrative. Anything you shoot about true crime is going to, get eyeballs on it. People want to see that. But not everything you shoot about, look, Indigenous rights, women's rights, Wisconsin history, I can hear the snoozes already. But we've got incredible creatives here. We have strong, passionate people. And even those friends of mine who have left, I truly believe where they are right now, I wish them the best. And if they stay there forever, that's fine. But I am truly of the belief that Wisconsin, we are in a renaissance. People have been sleeping on us for too long. Whether it's Milwaukee's film scene, whether it's the arts scene at large, any of it. Tides are turning. Changes are coming. Young people who otherwise would have been forced to leave this state to have a snowball's chance in heck of doing well, can now stay here and through the internet or through access to cameras, through our phones, or in a year, in January, when this bill about the film incentives gets passed, that's my belief on what will happen, we are going to see these folks who have these stories, who have this power, who have this passion, finally get what they need in their hands to make that happen, to get those stories told. I hope I am one of them. I hope you out there are one of them. And if you're not in the arts, I hope you take a moment today to think to yourself, what benefit would this bring me? And if you're thinking there is no benefit, give me a call tomorrow. I'm on the air again, 2 to 4. We're going to be talking about TikTok. We're going to be talking about hometown heroes. And we're going to be talking with a young woman who has been a huge inspiration to me and my activism about what is happening in central Wisconsin, back home in Wausau, and where we can go. My belief is that we are on a good track right now. I am of the belief that this state has so much to offer. The people of this state have so much to offer. And we are going to see the economic toll, the economic reward, the economic boon of that in the not so distant future, maybe even by next Sunday AD. We shall see. For Maggie Dawn, I have been producer Anya. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your texts. Remember, you can still text in for these last few seconds, family, through our app to be entered to win a trip to Chula Vista. That's all there is to say, I guess. It's all the same as all the rest. I'll see you tomorrow.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian, author Rich Scheidner and Jeopardy rockstar Ben Chan. It's Nightlight, 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
innovative research, educational resources, supportive community.
The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Baltimore Bridge collapse. I'm Michelle Franzen. At least six people are still missing.